Our passage this evening is Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 32. And not only is this a helpful passage to understand, it is especially important for we who are Gentiles to understand this passage because it contains a warning for us. So this passage has very clear application for we who are Gentiles, and we need to know that application. And again, it's a wonderful, fascinating, interesting passage as well. If you have not already done so, I invite you to open your Bibles, and if you are able, I do ask you to stand for the reading. Here at First Church, we stand for the reading because we recognize that this is God's holy, inspired word. He speaks to us through it. And starting with Romans 11, we read, "So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Lest you be wise in your own conceits, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so too they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all." Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, there is much in these verses we have read. We pray that you would open our minds and hearts to understand them, understand your great plan, and respond rightly as Gentiles who have been grafted in. May we constantly glorify and honor you and stand firm in faith in Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, we are going to approach this passage by noting that it contains a flow of time periods and also a helpful picture. And as I said a moment ago, a warning to Gentiles. That's my outline this evening, a flow of time periods, a helpful picture, a warning to Gentiles. So first, a flow of time periods. And I'm calling the first time period the time of the Jews. The time of the Jews, and it was a time of belief amongst the Jewish people. A time of faithful belief. Paul doesn't directly mention this time period, but it is clearly implied in our passage. Now listen to verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? The pronoun they in this verse is referring to the Jewish people. And the word stumble indicates that they had been standing upright with faith, with belief, and trust in God. We see such time of standing upright throughout the Old Testament. The peak of belief and faith came under the reign of David. Under his leadership, Israel worshiped the Lord God, followed his commands, not perfectly, of course. David himself had a terrible personal moment of sin. But overall, there was worship of the one true living God and obedience to his commands. And during that time, Israel was blessed. Israel expanded its kingdom, conquering neighboring enemies. Israel enjoyed wealth and peace. And at the end of David's life, the plans were given for the building of the temple in Jerusalem, which was built under the reign of Solomon his son. This was a great moment for Israel. At that time, the Jewish people were not stumbling. That was a peak moment of their faith, and there were other great times of faith as well. This time period I'm talking about starts with Abraham and goes through the Old Testament. Now, here's something I want you to think about regarding this time of the Jews, as I'm calling it. Namely, there were very few Gentile believers during that time. Very few. There were some. Matter of fact, in David's family tree, there were some Gentile believers. Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho. She married Solomon and gave birth to Boaz. And Boaz married a woman named Ruth, a second Gentile, a Moabite, you might remember her story, who gave birth to Obed. And Obed was David's grandfather, the father of Jesse. Those two Gentiles were graciously saved by God and were even part of David's family tree, and hence they were part of the family tree of Jesus as well. And you can find the names of Rahab and Ruth and Jesus' genealogy in the Gospel of Matthew. So there were some Gentiles saved, but mostly throughout the whole of the Old Testament, the people of God were Jews, descendants of Abraham. Now, Paul tells us in verse 11 that they stumbled, and he asks about them falling. Did they fall entirely, resulting in no belief amongst the Jewish people? And he answers his own question, saying, by no means did they fall entirely. And with that statement in front of us, I want to ask you a review question here from what we've been learning from Romans. Why does Paul say they did not fall entirely? What have we learned recently that would cause Paul to say, no, by no means did they fall entirely, resulting in no belief amongst the Jewish people? They certainly stumbled hard. Israel and Judah were destroyed along with the temple. And then when Jesus the Messiah came, they rejected him. But Paul says they did not fall entirely. Why does Paul say that? Answer. Because we have learned that God always keeps a remnant. There have always been some Jewish believers, So by God's grace and mercy, they did not fall entirely. But again, they did stumble, and they stumbled very hard. And the ultimate point of stumbling was the crucifixion and their continued rejection of Jesus after the resurrection. Remember, Paul begins Romans 9 grieving that not many of his fellow Jewish people were turning to Christ and being saved. That Romans 9, at the beginning of that, kind of starts this whole section off of Paul grieving that not many of his fellow Jews were being saved. Now, what Paul explains in our passage is that because of their stumbling, a new time period began, what I will call the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles. Listen to the end of verse 11, the part that I have underlined there. Rather, through their trespass, through their stumbling, the rejection of Jesus, through the Jewish people doing that, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. What this verse clearly says is that because of the Israelites stumbling, the gospel is now going to the Gentiles. The gospel is spreading to all Gentiles. And many are now faithfully believing in and following Jesus as Lord and Savior. God used the Apostle Paul to start that spread to the Gentiles. Paul made it his aim to go to places that had never heard the gospel. And the spread of the gospel is still occurring. We are here worshiping this evening because the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles came to us, we who are here tonight. And we've sent teams to Ethiopia and other places to be part of the spread of the gospel to other Gentiles. We support missionaries, full-time missionaries in various places for the spread of the gospel to reach more Gentiles. And the gospel is even spreading amongst Muslim countries and places where persecution is heavy. The gospel is spreading, and many, many Gentiles are believing. So right now, in this time period, you have many faithful Gentiles and far less believing Jews. You always have a remnant, but right now you have many faithful Gentiles and far less believing Jews. So this time period is the opposite, you see, of that first time period in which there were many believing Jews and few believing Gentiles. The times have switched. That's the second time period that we see in our passage. It's the time period that we are living in. This is still the time period that's going on today. Now, there's a third time period mentioned in our text as well, a future time period. We will call it the renewed time of the Jews, the renewed time of the Jews. It's mentioned several times. I'm going to comment on two of them. Listen to verse 12. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? In the first part of that verse, Paul is talking about this time period, the time of the Gentiles. He is saying that the stumbling of the Israelites has brought about riches to the world, to the Gentiles, because every nation is hearing the gospel and hence being affected by the gospel. So the world is having these riches right now. And then at the end of the verse, Paul speaks of a future full inclusion of the Jews that will result in even greater riches. I submit to you that is a third time period and that it likely has not yet happened. And it obviously is going to involve the Jewish people. Now, what Paul says about this third future time period should make us wonder, well, what is this full inclusion of the Israelites. What will this full inclusion look like? It obviously has not yet happened in Paul's days, for he's saying this is going to happen at some point. And again, I submit to you, it likely has not yet happened today. So let's keep looking at what Paul says to learn more about this full inclusion of the Israelites, the Jewish people. Verse 15 is very interesting. This is a great, helpful verse. Paul writes, "For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead?" We see the same thing in this verse that we saw in verse 12. Paul begins the verse referring to this present time period, the time of the Gentiles, while the Israelites are being rejected because they have rejected Christ. Because of their stumbling, their rejection of Christ, the Gentiles are being reconciled to God through Christ. Gentiles are becoming faithful believers throughout the whole world. Far more Gentiles are being saved than Jewish people right now. And then at the end of the verse, Paul speaks of a future for the Jewish people. He speaks of their acceptance. Right now, the Jewish people have hard hearts. They are not being accepted by Christ, not on a large scale anyway. There's always that remnant. But then Paul says their hearts will be softened by God and they're going to be accepted. And here Paul describes part of the riches, the greater riches that will be experienced when that future acceptance of the Jewish people occurs. Namely, life from the dead. Life from the dead. That is a very interesting part of this verse. Now, what is that a reference to? Life from the dead. Well, I submit to you that this, if you were here this morning for our 1 Corinthians series, the resurrection chapter, I submit to you this verse fits perfectly with what we're learning from 1 Corinthians 15. Life from the dead is the resurrection from the dead. Believers coming up out of the grave to meet the Lord Jesus at his second coming. So what we are learning is that this third time period is a time period right before the second coming of Jesus. When the full time of the Gentiles has come to an end, then we will have a renewed time of the Jews that will bring about their full inclusion, meaning many Jews are going to be saved. During this third time period, far more Jews will be saved than Gentiles. Does it mean each and every Jew at that time will be saved? No, it doesn't mean that. Just like each and every Gentile is not saved right now in the time of the Gentiles, does it mean that no more Gentiles will be saved during that third time period? No, just like there are some Jewish people being saved right now, so there will be some Gentiles being saved. But it does mean that many Jewish people will be saved, far more Jews than Gentiles at the time. There's going to be this wonderful revival amongst the Jewish people soon before the return of Christ. This interpretation fits perfectly with what Jesus says in Luke chapter 21. In this chapter, Jesus is talking about what is yet to come. He's talking about the future. And starting in verse 24, Jesus says this, "They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now that statement fits with what we're learning. Jesus speaks here of a time of the Gentiles during which Jerusalem is trampled. And then Jesus says that when that time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, Jerusalem will no longer be trampled underfoot. And then he goes on to tell us what will happen. Listen to what he says. "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, And on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great, with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The redemption spoken of in that last verse is believers rising from the dead and enjoying the redeemed new heavens, the new earth forever, with Christ reigning on the new earth. Again, this fits with what we've been learning from 1 Corinthians 15. Didn't plan that. That's just how these passages are falling. Listen again to verse 12 of our passage with what we just read in mind. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? I ask you, what then are the greater riches? Answer, our full redemption. Our resurrected bodies join new heavens, new earth, Jesus right there in our midst. That's going to be far greater riches than what we're enjoying as saved people right now. Now, when you take everything we have learned, here's a diagram that we can make. I don't know how well you can read that. Sorry, I couldn't really fit it on the screen very well, but this is showing the three time periods and then the second coming of Christ. The Old Testament was the time of the Jews. Again, far more Jews were saved than Gentiles. And then starting after the ascension of Jesus, you have this time of the Gentiles, during which far more Gentiles are saved than Jewish people. And then at some point, we are going to have this renewed time of the Jews, during which many Jews will be saved. And then we will have the second coming of Christ. If you want to dig into this more, I recommend this book to you by Kim Riddlebacher called A Case for Amillennialism. Starting on page 183, he gives a very detailed argument for what I have been explaining from Romans chapter 11. This is a great book about amillennialism as well, but then he has a specific section in there on Romans chapter 11, and it's just a very helpful writing on it. Now, you might be wondering from what I have been explaining about what this renewed time of the Jews will look like. Will we know it's happening and such things like that? Well, I can't answer with confidence questions like those. It's possible, for instance, that it's started. Maybe it's already begun, and that many Jews are being saved that we don't know about. Maybe it's in its beginning stages, or maybe it could just happen very quickly. It's possible that in just a very short amount of time, a revival could break out amongst the Jewish people so that, within just a week or a few weeks, wow, a large percentage of them just turn to Christ because of something going on. I don't know what it will look like. We're not told any specifics here, but I do believe that this passage we're looking at points to this renewed time of the Jewish people. Again, it doesn't mean every single Jew is going to be saved. And those Jews who have died already, apart from belief in Christ, they are not saved. They will never be saved. Their time is over. Their judgment has come. Any Jew who has died apart from Christ, they're in judgment. And not every Jew is going to be saved, but there's this renewed time coming. I will also add this. If we do see such a revival break out amongst the Jews, well, that still doesn't mean that we know the day and hour of the return of Christ. Jesus does tell us to watch for the changing of seasons. The passage I just read to you, Jesus says, hey, if you see this, no, this is big. Something's going on. Your redemption is drawing near. Know this. So we are to watch for such things, according to Jesus. But that does not mean that we will ever know the day and hour of Jesus' return. No one will ever know that. And if we're not looking for this renewed time of the Jews, well, we might not even see it. We are to be watchful. And if we're not, well, we might not even see that it's occurring. Again, we're not given any specifics. We're simply told there's this future time for the Jewish people. Now, you might wonder, does this mean that Jews and Gentiles will always be treated as separate groups? And you might wonder, does this mean that the Jews will always have this, you know, special place in eternity? Some teach that, but that's not what I'm teaching you this evening. That's not what I'm teaching, and I want to show you that. This passage explains that that's not the case. This passage explains that with a very helpful picture, which is my next overall point, a very helpful picture here. The helpful picture is of an olive tree. Sorry, it's not an almond tree, but it's an olive tree, all right? Paul uses this image in verses 17 through 24. Right now, I'm going to read verse 24. For if you, he's talking here to Gentiles, the you, Gentiles, if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? So what we see in this picture is one olive tree, just one olive tree. And this one olive tree has natural branches, and it also has branches from a wild olive tree grafted into it. And it also has natural branches that are grafted back into this one olive tree. The branches represent Jews and Gentiles. The grafting in of the branches from the branches represents the three different time periods I have explained. First, you have the natural branches growing well. That's the time of the Jews. That's how the kingdom of God began. And then you have the branches from a wild olive tree grafted in. That's the time of the Gentiles. And finally, there will be natural branches. Sorry about this. There will be natural branches that had been broken off, grafted back into the tree. And that will be the renewed time of the Jews. This is a beautiful, helpful picture because, again, it shows that there is one olive tree. There's not multiple olive trees. There's one olive tree. There are different branches, one olive tree. Jews and Gentiles are part of one kingdom. We're all going to be saved the same way through Jesus, and we all have the same future to look forward to. We're all part of one tree. Listen to what Paul says in verse 32. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Here he is talking about Jews and Gentiles, all of us. God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. So we are all saved the same way. We all have received mercy. Christ has made Jews and Gentiles one people, one tree. He has broken down the walls of barrier. Paul's picture of the tree shows that Jews do not have this special place in the kingdom of God for all eternity. We all have the same future ahead of us. Now, Paul uses that picture to give us Gentiles a warning. And that's the next point I want to go to, the last point there that we'll end on, a warning to the Gentiles. This point is very clear application for we who are Gentiles. I'm going to read verses 17 through 22 again, and I'm going to explain them as I read them. And I hope from what we've learned, you will now easily understand these verses as we look at them. First, listen to verses 17 and 18. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. In these verses, Paul is referring to the time periods that we've learned about. There was a time when the branches, the Jewish people, were growing well. That was the time of faithful belief amongst the Jewish people. The branches grew big and they grew strong. Think of the kingdom of David, the kingdom of Solomon. Big, strong, natural branches growing as part of that olive tree. And then there was this stumble, and Paul says, branches were broken off. That doesn't mean Jewish people lost salvation they had. Branches that were broken off never had salvation. They were not elect. And we've learned about all that in chapters 9 and 10 and things. They did not believe in Jesus. Instead, they rejected Jesus. And so they were broken off. And Paul says, to we who are now believing Gentiles, he's not speaking to all Gentiles here. He's speaking to believing Gentiles. He says, now listen, you were grafted in. And Paul says, do not be arrogant. Always remember, you were grafted in. You were graciously made part of the tree of God's kingdom. Not because you deserve it, but because the Jewish people, they stumbled. And God was gracious and merciful to you then. You were grafted in. Be thankful. Be humble. You're from that olive wild tree. You were grafted in. So be humble. That is application in and of itself. Realize that the Old Testament is our history. God is our God only because we were grafted in. Be humble. Do not be arrogant that branches were broken off. Don't be arrogant about that. Rather, be humble that you were grafted in. And Paul says more to us than that. Listen to verse 19. Then you will say, well, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Paul warns, some of you Gentiles, you're not going to remain humble. That's what he's saying. You're going to become proud. You're going to pat yourself on the back and say, wow, we are special. Branches were broken off so that we could be grafted in. See, that's pride. That's gloating. And so Paul says in verses 20 through 22, yeah, that's true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. Remember, that's why they were broken off, because of their unbelief. Not because you're special, but because of their unbelief. And so he says, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you. Provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. Paul is telling us to learn from the history of God's people. Stop and realize that they stumbled, even after all God had done for them. They stumbled. Realize that even today there are Jewish people who are strict followers of their religion, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know their God and their Savior Jesus. They still don't recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Don't look at them and be proud. Rather, be humble and fear God. Realize that Gentiles can also be cut off. Now, he's not talking about true believers losing their salvation. He's talking about us giving up the faith, not passing on the gospel to the next generations and such things. That we Gentiles lose what God has so graciously given us. He says, be fearful. realize you too can be cut off. This warning is pointing to the fact that our time period is going to come to an end. Someday the gospel is going to spread slowly amongst the Gentiles. And when you think about Europe and the United States, where Christianity is not growing like it once was, where churches are often empty, we should wonder what's going on amongst the Gentiles. And how close are we getting to this third time period? What's going on amongst the Gentiles? We're never going to know the time or hour of the coming of our Lord, but these are certainly things we should pay attention to, and such things should motivate us to be humble, love Jesus, be fearful in a worshipful, respectful way of our Lord Jesus. Don't let your love grow cold. Don't turn to the ways of the world. Don't let culture affect you and the church. Rather, be a light in the culture and to the next generations. Worship Jesus. Continue to learn of Jesus and the spread of the gospel, and also spread the gospel of Jesus while you are able to. That's the call of this passage. Think about what's going on. Think about what happened to the Jewish people. Be faithful to your Lord Jesus. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, every time we open your word, we always are ministered to by it. No matter how much we learn, we continue to learn more. And even those truths we have learned and heard many times, it's always helpful and a blessing and an encouragement to hear them again. And tonight, you've given us a wonderful passage to ponder and think about and learn from, and we're grateful for it. We're grateful for your plan that you are working out by your sovereign hand. We're grateful for what you have done for the Jewish people. When we think back to all of those years of the Old Testament, how gracious and merciful you were to them and the covenant promises you made and that you are fulfilling. We thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, that now you are being merciful to Gentiles all over the world and grafting us into your tree, your kingdom. And Father, we're thankful to know that you will once again move in the midst of Jewish people and bring them back into your tree. You're working out your plan, and we worship and praise you. And we pray that we would indeed respond well to this passage we've heard tonight. May we be humble, and may we be diligent to stand on the gospel truth and pass it on always. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.